children. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Glad you're here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm sorry. Hold your hand on Luke 8 because after I read 2 Corinthians 5, I'm actually going to be preaching out of Luke. I'm going to open up with, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 and then we're going to sit down and then we're going to have you turn to Luke chapter 8. So if you want to get ahead of the game, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and then Luke chapter 8, verse 26, but we'll just read. John, I'm going to bring a message tonight called A Changed Life. A changed life. We've had a lot of young Christians in our church. We've had a lot of people saved the last few months. And I just want to kind of encourage our young Christians and kind of let them understand what's going on. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Glad to see each one of you tonight. Look at the scripture there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I need to turn to it myself, Kenny, because I'm over here in the book of Luke. 5:17, I can quote it. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many see that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, when God says behold, he wants to get your attention. Lift up your eyes. Look, I want your attention. Behold, all things are become new. Kenny's got his precious daughter and the grandma here. They got a brand new baby, and everything's new for that baby. She's a new creation. Just came, isn't she brand new? And everything now, every day is a new thing. When you're saved, Kenny, you become a new baby in Christ, a new creature, a new creation of God. And all those old things are passed away, and now it seems like every day is a new, exciting adventure for Christ. And we're going to talk about that today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious Word of God. Just a few little thoughts today. I just pray I can encourage everyone here. Bless the baby, Father. We're so thankful for him. And Lord, just be with each one of us and be with our folks, especially for Judy, lady out there in the hospital, Father, Judy Bryant, help her get well. And bless Franny Cooley, Lord, and all those that are not doing good right now. We ask that you watch over each one of them. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 teaches us that when a person receives Christ as their Savior, they become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. The old life passes away. I was sharing something with Amelia and Mrs. Sales, they're talking about, I'm so glad God saved me from my old life. Brother Mike, how I grew up in the back rooms, in the alleys, in the bars, in the fights, and the darkness, and I'm so glad God took me out of that. Amen. And I can't say enough for young teenagers to stay away from that stuff. It seems exciting. It seems, boy, that'll be fun, but I'm going to tell you, it's a dead-end street. It's a lonely place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. And I was sharing with them some of the things. It's a miracle that I survived. I've had pistols this close to my head. I've had knives pulled on me. I've been slit up with bottles, cut open bottles, and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just glad that I wasn't saved at that time. I'm just glad that God, in his mercy, let me live, and later I got to hear about Jesus and got saved, amen? And Kenny, since then, I'm not perfect. God's still working on me. We're not going to be perfect till Jesus. We have a perfect standing in God's eyes. He sees us sinless because we have been given imputed righteousness of Christ. Jesus had no sin, so you and I stand before God with no sin. See, here's you and I, but Jesus had no sin. And so when he gave us his righteousness, his impudence, here we are, all sinners. But see, Jesus had no sin, and so when we stand before God, all he sees, even though we're no good sinners, amen? All God sees is the righteousness, the whiteness, the purity, the holiness of Jesus Christ. And that's why we can stand before God, even though we're just sinners saved by grace. We're far from being perfect. We've got a perfect standing, though. Amen? And because we have a perfect Savior, and his holiness, his righteousness is imputed unto us. And we're to live as, we're to walk close to him and try to be holy as he is holy. But we all, the best we can do, we fall short. But we ought to do all we can to walk with him. Amen? Well, the old life passes away and a new life begins. And boy, Kenny, this is your daughter got saved and her mother-in-law got saved. And now the baby, they're all, really, all you are brand new babies. Even the baby. She's your baby, but you're all babies in Christ. So all you a bunch of infants. And so a lot of things that the Bible teaches, as the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, like your baby when she gets hungry. I see that bottle right there. Give me that milk. I want some milk. And God says we're to take the milk of the word and grow. And that's how she'll grow, because if you don't feed her milk, she won't grow. If we don't get the word of God, we won't grow. Amen? And so many times in the scriptures, it relates to a Christian's life as a child growing up. And so I'm going to give you an example of a changed life. There's a great example in the book of Luke of a changed life. Matter of fact, if I thought I was going to preach this for chapel, when Brother David asked me, I said, I know exactly what I'm going to preach. And then we heard Brother Ed was in town, and I knew we would never, I said, so let's have him preach, and I'll preach it some other day at the church. But look, Luke chapter 8, I was going to preach this to teenagers. But I'll preach to you because you need just much as teenagers. Amen? Because we're all young at heart. Amen? Well, I think this is a perfect example of a changed life for Christ in Christ. Luke 8, chapter verse 26 to 39. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in the house but in the tombs. This guy's a wild guy, kind of like your rock stars today, screaming, yelling, no clothes on. Amen. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. Loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? Jesus is Most High, by the way. I beseech thee, torment me not, for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of a man. By the way, those evil people screaming and yelling and up there naked and doing lewd acts, when they got unclean spirits in them too. You just mark it down. That's why you teenagers should never get around those rock stars, because they've got unclean spirits in them. Did you hear me? Right. With that screaming and that yelling and that naked, and they're taking all their clothes off and they're doing evil. That's, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a breeding place for demons. Yeah. You better listen to this preacher. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And you adults, I'm amazed some of the adults, sometimes even the silver hair with the ponytails, they're all excited with it. Yeah. And you think they got enough. Those kind of guys, you just want to kick in the hind end and say, you're old enough to know better. Amen, Mike? I'm amazed at how dumb people really are, no matter how old they get. Amen? They're trying to relive their youth. They're trying to relive their... I'm thinking about that guy down in Naples with a Speedo walking around. What an idiot. I want to go and just jack his jaw and say, here, now, how's that feel? But I didn't. What an idiot, Steve. 75 years old, walking around with a Speedo and on the golf. And thought he was something. He was a nitwit. Hello. What that is, that's a little tiny bathing suit, by the way. And so, I thought, what an idiot. You say, boy, this is really gross. You watch worse shows on TV than what I'm talking about right now. Yet they'll go home tonight and tear me up. Did you hear the preacher? He brought an X-rated message. Hurry up and turn that show on that cusses and uses all the Lord's name. I don't want to miss my TV show. I'll tear the preacher up, but I don't care. I can listen to it on TV. You sorry. Oh, my. And I'm a believer, amen? Notice, where did I leave off? I'm never going to get God. Oh, wow. 29, thank you. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out, for oftentimes he caught him and was kept bound with chains and fetters and break the bands and was driven of the devil in the wilderness. By the way, that's where you are when you're what without Christ. You run away, you're out in the wilderness. You're in a lost condition. You're in a condition of danger. You're in a condition where you're going to perish out in the wilderness without God. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered in him. And they besought him that would not command him to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine. You know, the Jews were not supposed to eat pork. No pork chops, no bacon, no sausage, no brats that we had. Hello? No wonder they, you know, but you know, Jesus said they're no good for you. But now we can eat anything as long as it's given with thanksgiving. Amen? Still not good for you, but... good to live in the New Testament, amen? And there was a herd of many swine feeding out in the mountains. He besought them that he would suffer them. Then went out the devils out of the man, and he entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and choked. And when they fed them, they saw what was done, that fled and went and told it unto the city in the country. Then they that went out to see what was done, verse 35, and came to Jesus... and found the man. That's what I'm talking about tonight. This guy that was changed. He had a changed life. They found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's a good place to sit. Clothed. Clothed. See, before he was naked. Now he's got clothes on. You see, when people get in their right mind and people get the feet of Jesus, they put clothes on. Amen. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also saw, told them by what means he was possessed of devils and healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of Gadarenes went about, besought him to depart from there, for they were taken with great fear. They didn't want to lose the rest of their herds of swine. And he went into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with him. It's amazing, after you really get saved, you want to be with Christ. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to thy own house. Show how great things God had done unto thee." And he went his way. This man had a changed life. And he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Father, help me now in this next few minutes to be a blessing with a short outline. I pray it'll be an outline that the Holy Spirit will leave something, some portion of it in the people's heart. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I wrote down four or five things about this changed life. Number one, I want you to just think about this man who was lived in the tombs. He was naked, he was wild, he screamed, he cut himself. He was uncontrollable, he was out of control, he couldn't be constrained, he couldn't be reached. Boy, but one day he met Jesus and got reached. One day he met Jesus and all the devils got taken out. All the darkness got out, and he came into the marvelous light of Christ, amen? One day he that would always run from Christ, now he's running to Christ, wanting to be with Christ. That's a changed life. I wrote down four or five things here. There's way more than that, but let me just give you the few that I wrote. Number one, verse 27. I want to relate this to a born-again Christian that just got saved, or anybody that's saved. Verse 27, Luke chapter 8. This man who had a changed life, did you notice he lived in the tombs? In other words, he walked and lived before he got saved, Brother Mark. He lived in darkness. This man lived in darkness. He lived in dark tombs. Did you ever notice, people that walk in darkness, they don't know Christ. Every person here today, if you're saved, you're walking in light. The Bible says, as he is light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. As we walk, what's that 1 John 1:7? 1 John 1:7. We're to walk in the light as he is the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we're to walk in, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus says, walk in my light. Matthew 5:16 says, ye are the light of the world. By the way, what were we before I got, I was telling Mrs. Sells and her daughter, before I got saved, there was no light about this preacher at all. It was all darkness. Matter of fact, I used to go out at nighttime when the bars were closed at 2:30. The only reason I left is because they kicked me out. I just look up to heaven and say, oh God, I know there's a God up there. There's got to be more to life than this. Deborah wrote a song about it. But God. But you might be here today. You might be saying, man, there's got to be more to life than this. There is. And I guarantee you, can you imagine the nights? Brother Mike, think about that man in the tombs. Can you imagine the loneliness, the nights of depression, the night of just calling, oh, I'm so tormented. By the way, that's how lost people are. Until you get saved, you don't have that joy in your heart. There's a void in every man's heart. And until Christ comes in, that void's never filled. Oh, they try to fill it with trips and vacations and houses and cars and coins and boats and planes and different things, but that won't fill it. They try it with sin and all kinds of, but that don't fill it. That there's a void in every man's heart. It's a darkness. It's a black hole. Because men walk in darkness, and until the light of Christ comes in, that void's not filled. Amen. And this man, he lived in tombs. He walked and lived in darkness. All men walk and live in darkness until they're saved. By the way, how many think that man got saved out of them tombs? How many think he was saved when how many think he was glad when he got saved out of those tombs? Say amen if you think that. Okay, now let me, before he got saved, that man was in darkness, but when Jesus came, Jesus brought him into marvelous light. Here's the question I want to pose to you. Do you think that man ever wanted to go back to those dark tombs after he was set free? No, he did not. You're right. I bet no one said, hey, you want to go back to those tombs? Are you crazy? I've been set free from that. I never want to see those tombs again. I don't ever want to get near those tombs again. I was in torment. I was tortured. I was in bondage. I had no hope. I was doomed. I was miserable. And the Christ took me out of that. Why would I ever want to go back to it? Amen. Then I have another question. Why would any lost person want to go back to the old places of darkness that bound them and tormented them? I haven't been in a bar for over 30 years, and I'm glad I haven't been. Best I can tell you, you want to stay out of them dark places? After you get saved, don't go back to them. Right now, if I had to smell alcohol, I'd puke. I'd probably puke up all night. I most likely was an alcoholic at the age of 18 years old because I started drinking when I was 14. Hello. I was telling the kids, see, those when I sent out those kids, you ain't gonna put them back past the old man. I've been there. I've sat where they sat, said what they said, did what they did, done what they've done. I've already been there. And boy, Brother Carl, I'm glad I'm out of that place. I'm glad I'm out of those dark tombs. I'm out of those places of damnation. I'm glad I'm out of those places. Have all you want with them. I'm not going back to that dark tomb. I've been set free, amen? Stay out of them, though. By the way, you say, well, they're not so bad. Why are they always dark? Why is every place of evil, why is it always no lighting? Because Satan dwells in darkness. See, light expels darkness. I never went into a bright... If you went into a bar that had bright lights, it'd be empty. No, darkness breeds darkness. People go there to get drunk and feel bad and get feel and they think, well, You know, Kenny, you'll be tired. Oh, I can feel better. No, you just get worse.
Right.
You wake up with a headache. Lose your money. Lose your clothes. By the Bible says in Proverbs, who has wool? Who has redness of eyes? Who has wounds without cause? Over there in Proverbs 23, they that tarry long at the wine. A lot of bar fights. I've been in a lot of them. No one's ever a winner. Even if you win, you still walk out with damage on your body. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Strong drink is, and whosoever take it, whosoever drink it is deceived thereby. In other words, it says, no, don't take it. Proverbs 20 says, when it stirreth like an adder, in other words, a snake, it's going to bite you. Best thing you kids can ever do, you never give your baby alcohol. Don't you take no more either. Not that you are. Maybe you've never had drink. But if you haven't, don't drink at all. Stay away from alcohol. One thing about being a new creature, you don't want to go back to those places of darkness where you were. Amen? Number two, verse 27. By the way, that includes bars, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of places that are wild places. He was, number 27. He was naked when he was lost. But as soon as he got saved, verse 35, it says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Now, do you think this man, after he was saved, you think that he would go back and say, I'm going to take all my clothes off and be naked again? No. You know why? Because when you get saved, Christ lives within you. You become a new creature. You become you have a new life. You have a changed life. And that's why it's important that Christians wear clothes. Well, you say, why are you doing that? Because summer is fastly approaching.
Amen.
Yeah. And it seems like we as Christians lose our Christianity during the summertime. I think men ought to always, and ladies. See, you think I'm just preaching to ladies, but I think men, the Bible says, if you show your thighs, that's nakedness. I've never been short. I've always wore trousers. But I'm not against you. But even if you wear shorts, then wear them below the knees.
Yeah.
Cover up your thighs.
Amen.
I think a man ought to wear trousers myself. But everyone has their own personality. You know, I'm a Moses living in 2008. They didn't make them back in my days. I never had a good set of legs to show off, anyways. I don't stand out and get suntan, so they're white as can be. Blind people, white in your eyes. But you know what bothers me about summertime? Men and women both. They take their clothes off and expose their nakedness. Brother Bud, I don't think women ought to walk around in bikinis. And I don't think men ought to be walking around the same way either. I think we ought to be clothed.
Amen.
Many times, even when we went swimming, I'd wear a t-shirt in and with longer down to my knees because I want my nakedness to be covered.
Amen.
Unless I'm just with my wife in private, then that's maybe different. But if I'm out in public, I'm going to have some clothing on my body. Not only that, when you're this big, you need clothing anyways. Amen. But what I'm saying, it didn't matter if I was skinny or not. We need that. Look up here. See, we're talking about a changed life.
Yes.
See, we understand why that man in the tombs would never go back in the darkness, but we're no different than him.
That's right.
We might not lived in the tomb, but we lived in darkness.
Yes.
Why would we go back to darkness? Why would we go back to taking our clothes off?
Amen.
Wow, only one amen.
Amen.
Quiet in here. And isn't this good Wednesday night service?
Amen.
And we need to understand that no matter if it's summer or winter, we need to be clothed.
Right.
And this little type of no clothing wearing Christians, you can't tell today. I'm not just talking about the beaches because I don't go to beaches anyway. But when we went to Naples, we had our own private thing there that was nice, but you can't even tell in the mall, Brother Mark. I'm not talking about the beaches. You go to the mall, they're all walking around with no clothes on. Hey, Christians, after he got saved, he put clothes on. I think all Christians, when they get a changed life, they ought to wear clothes. Amen. Number three. Better move on. Amen? We need a changed life. Number three, verse 27. He lived in a tomb, not a house. And in Mark 5:5, don't turn to it, he was always night and day and was in the tombs crying and cutting himself. You know, before he was saved, this man was a wild man. Before he was saved, there was no restraints. Before he was saved, he had no composure of his life and no constraints. You know what, Brother Coolidge, before I got saved, I was a wild kid. I really was. I hate to say it. There was no constraints. I wasn't afraid of nothing, and I did just about anything I wanted to do. I'm glad God saved me out of that. Amen, Brother Mike? And you know, this man, after he got saved, he said he was sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He had constraints. He was composed. His life was more consecrated now. Are you with me? Before, he lived a reckless and wicked and unconstrained life. But after he got saved, he didn't. Should we be any different than this man that got saved out of the tombs? We ought to have a constrained life, a consecrated life. We ought to have a life that's dedicated for Christ. Amen? Not out of control. If I feel like doing it, I'm going to do it. Anything goes. No. That man had a changed life. We ought to have that kind of changed life. This man, this reminds me of when I could see him screaming, yelling. You know what it reminded me of? And it's really one of my pet peeves, I guess. I can't stand those wild singers. Now, I grew up in the 50s, and that music might not be bad, but I'll tell you, it might not be good. But by the way, compared to this music today, it's phenomenal. I'll take Perry Como any day over what you got in Frank Sinatra and Andy Williams and some of the old guys. I'm not saying they were good. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you right now, they sang slow, and I could understand the words they were saying. And even when we were kids, preacher, the bands, you ever notice the guys, they all had haircuts? They all wore suit and tie, even when they sang. Now look at them. They look like animals. They act like animals. They sing like animals. Blood on them. They put. I'm telling you, you can't. You know, you better understand something. There's a difference today. You say, "Boy, that guy's just old fashioned." No, I'm trying to help you. I've been taken out of that tomb of darkness. Those people are back in the dark tombs. They're evil. And you wonder why kids go out and kill each other and why they go on drugs. You wonder why you take drugs. Because they're shooting up drugs while they're singing at you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you wonder why your kids say, "I think I'll try those drugs too." You ought to let your kids go to those places.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's about time we start protecting our children. And I don't care what the government says. I don't care how big they are. When David Richard was still in high school, he messed up. Oh, I still grabbed him by his neck, and I shook him, boy.
Amen.
David Williams still, I don't remember. David Williams still says the day one day I got mad, and I picked David right up and put him against the wall and said, "I'm going to smash you, buddy."
Amen.
And I'm not advocating hurting kids. But the old belt on the old Butteroo worked for us, boy. We need to get back to not hurting those children physically, but we need to hurt their little butt with a belt. discipline. I don't care what the government says. But that's why you got metal detectors and guns and people killing people at school. When we were kids, if I got a spanking at the school, I begged my principal not to call my dad. I said, please hit me 3 times and don't call my dad. Because what would happen, Brother Mark? They would whoop me. They would call my dad. My dad would say, what'd you do, boy? And he didn't care. Right front, boom, boom, boom. I'm going to tell you right now, it hurt. My dad believed in dancing. He grabbed this and he grabbed and with hands and we'd promenade. Oh, that school book. We'd be promenade do-si-do it, man. And I'd be doing all the moves for him. Woo! Woohoo! Yahoo! Ah-ha-ha. And it didn't matter if you cried before he hit you. Keep crying, because I'm still hitting you. And the trouble with some of our kids today, you that got young ones, you better learn to hit that little butt. Not to brutalize them. By the way, before I ever spanked David, Richard, or Tammy Lynn, I would say, come here, we're going to pray. I did. I'm not lying to you. You go ask my children. Tammy still says she hates that of me. I say, Lord, I'm trying to raise my kids right. And your Bible tells me if I spank them, it'll be good for them when they do bad. I help them not to do bad. And I spank them, and I pray. And I spank them. One day they were doing a bunch of math. I said, stop, stop. They went, man, they were just going crazy. The kid, you couldn't, no matter what you said, they wouldn't stop. I said, come here. I got the Bible in Proverbs that foolishness is bound the child, but the rod of correction will take it away. I said, we're going to find out right now if God's Bible's true. Do you know after I spanked them, they stopped?
Yeah.
And they got a great lesson, a Bible lesson that day. The Bible's true. We need to get back those days. My kids aren't perfect, neither are yours. And my grandkids are far from being perfect. And by the way, Lukey gets a ton of, he gets spankings from daddy, mommy, grandma, grandpa. Poor Lukey, he gets more spankings than Carter's got pills. Because we love him. If you think he's mean, if we didn't constantly stay with him, what do you think he'd be doing? Some of you got kids you've never spanked. You better wake up. You better smell the bacon. You're going to have a monster with you pretty soon if you don't spank your kids. I'm not telling you to spank them for no reason at all. And by the way, you don't spank them every time. But there is a time when you have to chasten. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, he chastens his children. He spanks us, whom he loveth. If you don't love your children, you don't spank them. If you love them, you do spank them. What number was I on? I better get going. I'll never get done with this. 3? Anyways, those singers, they're wild. No restraints, no constraints. They look like they're wild maniacs, and that's what they are. You don't want that kind of music in your home, amen. And you wonder why. By the way, why would we want to go back to something we came out of? Number 4, real quickly, verse 38. The man wanted to be with Jesus. People who get saved want to be with Jesus. I'm always amazed, Betty. People say they're saved, yet they never want to go to church, never want to read their Bible, never want to go do nothing for God. You're saved? How long have you been? I've been saved for 30 years. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I've been looking for a church for 30 years. No church at all? Never been to church? No, I haven't been going. I've just been thinking about where to go. I ain't found the right place, but you never go. Hello? Watch out for that kind of salvation. People act like they're saved, but when you get a changed life, you want to be with Jesus. You want to be with God's people. You want to be in God's church. You want to have part of God's word. My life changed drastically, Brother Mike. I was a wild kid. Even out of school, I went to Allied Chemical, and I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. So I went right out of high school, and I was a wild kid in school. I was a wild kid at work, and when I got saved, those men couldn't believe it. They said, "What happened?" They said, "Rich Skyver got religion." used to have all these filthy naked women pictures, and I'd take a stack of tracks and a big bucket of paste, and I would paste over all those and put gospel tracks over them. Man, were they mad. Covered up their nakedness and put the word of God over it. Amen. I used to preach to them all, and I led a lot of men to Christ, some of the most wickedest and rough guys, because they said, what happened to you? You're not like us no more. No, I got saved.
Amen.
I came out of that stuff. What I'm saying is when you really get saved, now, God, people grow in different times. You know, you grow in grace. But when you get saved, you got to change life. I'll say this, and I'll move on to the next point. I remember I was in a, there was a guy named Merle. He was a real hard-nosed guy, kind of a tough guy, older man. I was just a young kid, remember? And I used to play that, the check pool every week. You'd throw a couple bucks in, and whatever your numbers were on your, the red numbers on the, in your paycheck. And I used to win. I won a few times. And I remember he came by one week, and after I got saved, boy, I was so scared. He said, give me your dollar, or whatever it was. I said, not doing it. He said, come on, quit messing around, give me your money. I said, I'm not doing it, Merle. He said, what's wrong with you? You've been acting real funny. Strange. I said, Merle, I've asked Christ to save my soul, and I'm not gambling no more. He said, oh, boy, I've heard everything. He cussed me out and walked away. But he never came back again. You know, it's hard sometimes to stand up because I was scared. My heart was just a beating. It's hard sometimes to take a stand. But when you take a stand, you're glad you did.
Amen.
By the way, usually if you'll take a stand once, you won't have to keep the fighting it off, time it, and keep making excuses. Well, next time I'll do it. Next time I'll do it. Next time I'll do it. Take a stand the first time. You'll save you a lot of hassle. He never came back again. Not ever again. Because I took a stand. Can anyone say amen? He wanted to be with Jesus. And that's all I wanted to be with. I wanted to be with Jesus. And lastly, verse 39. The man went back to his own home. He showed his family and friends what Jesus did for his life. How Jesus really changed his life. Oh, Kenny, he's been a great truth. Kenny, you're kind of like this guy in the tombs. God saved you, and you've been going out telling everybody, your family, your friends, all about what Jesus done. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, it's sad, though, after we get saved, after a while. Oh, when we first get saved, we're excited. Then it gets old. Then we don't start telling people. It gets tough, don't it, Ken? But, Jack, we're to keep that excitement. We're to keep that life in front of us, and we're to keep just telling people what Jesus did for us. By the way, they need to see our life that Christ lives in us. So if you're writing it down, here they are. I'm all done, but I'm going to give you a little outline, you preachers or you Sunday school teachers. Number one, he had a changed life. Number two, he had a converted life. Number three, he had a composed life or constrained. Number four, he had a consecrated life. Number five, he had a committed life. Number six, he had a compassionate life. And number seven, he had a complete life in Christ. And when you have a complete life in Christ, then you have John 10:10, the abundant life. Amen. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Oh, I'm glad I got taken out of the tombs. And I don't want to go back to him. I'm glad he made a new creature out of me. And you don't have to be a preacher to become a new creature in Christ. Once you get saved, you become a new creature. Let's act like those new creatures. Let's take an example from the man that got changed over there in Luke chapter 8. How many believe that guy in the tombs had a changed life? Let's learn the lesson from that man that had a changed life. Let's have a changed life like him. Amen? Father, we thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. I just pray that you'll bless these thoughts. I know there was nothing they never heard before. But Lord, I think we need to constantly be reminded of the great grace of God that You saved our soul and brought us out of darkness. And Lord, to be encouraged to stay with the stuff and not go back, and not turn back, and not go back into the power of darkness that you saved us from. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. And if I died, I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight? Would there be anyone tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I won't come to you, but I'll pray for you. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. I'm not sure. One last thing before I pray. Maybe you're a Christian, but maybe you've been dabbling back in the darkness. Maybe Satan's been trying to get you to go back in the tombs, go back where the old darkness is. Maybe you've been tempted lately a lot to go back in the dark tombs where you came from. And you'd say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me that I won't fall and get back in those darkness like where I once came from. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. God bless you. Yes. 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 God bless you. Yes. Oh, that's so important. That's why we preach like this. Because everyone's tempted. Everyone's tempted. Everyone has trials. Satan's out there. He can't get your soul once you're saved. But he sure wants to destroy your life. There was hands on both sides of the building tonight. We live in a rough, tough world. We live in a pressure, a world full of pressures that's insurmountable sometimes. Young people, let me encourage you to stay close to God. Stay close to your parents. Stay in church. Listen to your youth pastor. Read your Bible. Stay away from bad crowds. Oh, those bad crowds are going to get you in trouble. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help us. You brought us out of darkness. Help us to continue to walk in marvelous light. Lord, there were people on both sides of the building tonight. More than one, several, said Satan's been working on them. And they've been thinking about the darkness again. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to stay away from it. Give them victory over it. Please, Father, give them. And we're going to sing a verse. What page number?